If you have ever had a chance to look at the coat of arms or seal of the city of Avila in the center of Spain, you will see a number of images that don't necessarily stand out for being anything out of the ordinary. This one has a red background with a castle and a knight in that castle, surrounded by an inscription, and nothing particularly special about it. But if you look closely enough, you realize that the knight is not an adult, but someone younger, supposedly a boy. And the castle is not just any ordinary castle, but the backside of the Cathedral of Avila, which actually forms a part of those wonderful walls that are so characteristic of the city. And there's a story behind the seal, as you would expect, and it's a pretty interesting one, so let me tell you about it. This one takes place in the early part of the 12th century with the different kingdoms of Spain. It is by far, in my humble opinion, one of the most confusing periods in Spanish history. And I say that because that's when there were all these kingdoms and different monarchs vying for power, while at the same time trying to expel the Moors from the Iberian Peninsula. This period was known as the famous Reconquista, or Reconquest. And the problem with this period was that the process, was painfully slow, in part because the Muslims were no pushovers and not easy to defeat, and in part because the Christians were often too busy fighting amongst themselves. Power struggles, inheritance issues, they constantly took up arms against each other, almost as much as they did against the Muslims, and often at the same time. And on occasion, they would even employ their traditional enemies as allies. Crazy times indeed, which we will tell you more about when I get to those episodes in my series, History of Spain 101. In any event, suffice it to say that it was a mess, a really big mess. And I can't think of a better example of how messy this was than the marriage between Urraca of León and Alfonso I of Aragon, known as Alfonso the Warrior or the Battler. Urraca, spelled Urraca, who unfortunately probably has the most unflattering name in the history of kings and queens, because Urraca is a Spanish word. It refers to a bird, and that bird in English is called the magpie. So we're talking Queen Magpie, if you can only imagine. Poor thing. Anyway, she is the daughter of another Alfonso, Alfonso VI of León, and for a number of reasons, eventually becomes Queen of León, as well as Galicia and Castile. The different kingdoms. It's much more complex than that, but if I tried to explain it to you, I could go on for another hour. But let's try to keep it simple. Queen Urraca of León and Alfonso I of Aragon. Now, Urraca had been married previously to a man named Raymond of Burgundy, and they had two children between them. A girl named Sancha and a boy named Alfonso, again, another one, that's three that we've mentioned. Raimundo died in 1107, and it wasn't her intention to be queen or even to marry again. And yet, within the next 2 years, or the following 2 years, she would not only be crowned, but she would also remarry. And in fact, becoming queen kind of hinged on her tying the knot for a second time. Her father insisted that she marry the King of Aragon as a kind of final wish. It was not something that she wanted to do, but she reluctantly complied and married again. It wouldn't take long for her to realize that this was a major mistake, since Alfonso, the first of Aragon, who was a longtime bachelor, had many interests in mind, but one of them wasn't settling down to a quiet married life. Alfonso was a major success on the battlefield. I think he won at least 20 battles, hence his nickname. But he was an utter klutz when it came to personal relationships, especially with women. From what I gather, he was a misogynist, and I think that's putting it lightly. He was abusive to her. He physically beat her, though she was also known to defend herself pretty well, too. But instead of making love to his wife, he literally made war on her and even laid siege to her in towns and threw her in prison. Now, the reason for his aggressive behavior, in part, was that he was very ambitious and he wanted to take control of her lands. He basically just kind of figured that he was the man there and he was the one who would rule, whether she liked it or not. But he met a lot of resistance, in part because she wouldn't allow for it, and in part because the nobility in those lands, okay, wasn't very keen on him. Now, one of the obstacles that Alfonso wanted to get out of the way was Urraca's own son, whose name, as we know, was Alfonso. Basically, when in doubt, the king's name is Alfonso. You see, there was apparently a prenup agreement between the two, where if one of them died before, which is usually what happens in these cases, the other would automatically become ruler of the land. Now, of course, neither consulted with the nobility, but they definitely had a say in the matter. In León and Castile, and especially in Galicia, Urraca's son, Alfonso, was considered to be the direct heir and the one to take over those kingdoms, and possibly even his own Aragon. So he wasn't happy about that idea. And as we were saying, Alfonso I wasn't very well liked by the people of León and Castile. And the events that supposedly took place in Avila, which is where our story takes place, may help us to understand why. Because if anything, they are a mere sampling of the kinds of extremes he was willing to go to get his way. As we were saying, he was trying to get rid of the son. So he went after the boy, known by some as the boy king. But the child had been taken to Avila for protection. And with those massive walls there, there was basically no better place in the kingdom. Alfonso I, his stepfather, tried to persuade the leaders of the town to hand the boy over. He claimed he wanted to sort of take care of him and raise him himself. But the people of Avila would have nothing of it. They didn't trust Alfonso as far as they could throw him, and time would pretty much prove that they were right. That made Alfonso I suspicious. You see, there was a rumor out there that this boy, Alfonso, had died, which would have been wonderful news for him, because then he would have gotten rid of him. But he somehow didn't believe them, and he guessed that the kid was in town still. So he demanded to see the boy king, get visible confirmation, and finally some of the guards in the town lifted him up in the castle so that he could be visible. Now, honestly, I don't think that this was the brightest thing in the world to do, as someone could have easily fired an arrow at the kid and killed him. But lucky for them, that didn't happen. They didn't, so that was all right. All the same, Alfonso was too far away, so he couldn't really get a good view of the kid. And from that distance, he wasn't sure, so he decides to go closer. But realizing that this is risky and could cost him his life, he first demands that the people of Avila send out a group of people from the town, preferably soldiers, to serve as temporary hostages, sort of basically collateral. And that wasn't entirely unusual back then. But once again, the people in Avila agreed to this for some inexplicable reason. And I say that because, after all, they really had nothing to risk. They were inside this incredible fortress with these impenetrable walls. What would possess them to accept that? But for some reason they did, and they supposedly hand over 60, although some versions say 70 knights, as proof that they have no intention of harming the King of Aragon, and they want to act in good faith. Satisfied with the exchange, the king gets close enough to identify the boy himself, and he recognizes him as his wife's son. So that was taken care of and confirmed. Now, there was just one problem. No matter how superior his forces were, his army was, he knew full well that he didn't have the manpower or the equipment to overtake this well-fortified city, let alone lay siege to it. So he realized that he had to give up his campaign and move elsewhere, which apparently frustrated him enormously, because instead of returning the soldiers, who had been held as a guarantee of safety, he calls on his own men to kill them, every last one of them. And that's exactly what happened. Now, how this massacre was carried out depends on the version you hear. One says that the knights were killed first, and then their bodies were cut up, and then they were thrown into vats of boiling oil. Others, though, claim that the warriors were actually sent straight to the pots while still alive, and that their screaming echoed throughout the city, which I can imagine definitely would have happened if that were true. Regardless, the sight and sound must have been a horror. But no one inside the walls was willing to rush out to rescue because Alfonso's army would have easily defeated them, and they probably would have met the same fate. And to this day, the place where the cruel act apparently took place is known as Las Hervencias, the boiling places, and it's located outside the walls of Avila, obviously, to the northeast of the city. It's a neighborhood now. Shocked by the events, but unable to confront the army, the townspeople waited for Alfonso and his army to leave and then sent their best and bravest knight, a man named Blasco Ximeno, and his squire to challenge Alfonso personally to a fight to the death. So off they went, and when they caught up to the army, they launched a slew of insults, hoping that they would just basically tick him off so much that he would accept the challenge. But it seems that Alfonso was no longer a devout believer in chivalry. I think the slaughter back in Avila would have made that more than obvious. But in any event, he instructed his guards to kill the two and have their bodies cut up. There is a monument called the Cross of the Challenge, not far from Avila, outside the town of Cantiveros, where this tragic episode supposedly took place. Alfonso of Aragon continued for a little bit longer, but his nasty disposition and his aggressive behavior didn't get him very far in life, at least in Castile and Leon. His marriage to Urraca was a disaster from the beginning, as we know. Their marriage was annulled by the Pope on the grounds that they were second cousins, as if that kind of thing really mattered to anyone back then. And Alfonso I would officially renounce his wife in 1114, just a few years later, before she could do the same to him. I guess it was sort of one final take that. So there was no love lost in the breakup, that's for sure. And on top of that, Alfonso would die childless 20 years later in 1134, which is an entirely different story worth telling, but we'll do that at a different time. Alfonso, the son, Urraca's son, the one in Avila, would go on to become Alfonso VII, King of Leon and Castile. And in gratitude to the city, he allowed them to call the town Avila del Rey, which is Avila of the King, which is an honor for that city. And that inscription appears on the coat of arms. The coat of arms also includes an image of him at the top of the walls where the cathedral is, just as the story goes. Now, that's the legend. Just how much of it is true is very hard to determine due to a lack of written evidence verifying it. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. As we mentioned before, Las Hervencias, as a neighborhood, as a place, does exist. The seal is of Alfonso VII. He did honor the town that way. But a lot of the other details are just missing something specific or tangible to verify it. So scholars are still vigorously debating the veracity of this story to this day. but I still think it's a cool story. And for the moment, I'm going to stick to it. And that's the history behind the seal or the coat of arms of this wonderful city of Avila, a town well worth visiting and more than once. And that'll be all for today. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we'd love the feedback. You can also subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, click on our PayPal donate button on the website. Or if you want to access absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And that'll be all for today. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.